Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Let's go!
All right. Good morning to you once again. It's Dave Player on 720 WGN. I love that song. That was Chicago Cubs baseball on WGN,
yeah.
Which I absolutely love. Well, their names were chanted, crowd, and cursed. Alone, they were a shortstop, a second baseman, and a first baseman. But together, they were an unstoppable force. Joe Tinker, Johnny Evers, and Frank Chance came together in a rough and tumble early 20th century Chicago and soon formed the defensive core of the most formidable team in big late Major League Baseball, leading the Chicago Cubs to four National League pennants and two World Series championships from 1906 to 1910. At the same time, baseball was transforming from a small-time diversion to really a nationwide sensation. In this new book, Tinker to Evers to Chance, author David Rapp examines this pivotal moment in American history when baseball became the game we know today. And joining me to share that story is David Rapp. Good morning, David.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. Thanks for being with us. You know, you are a political guy, longtime respected journalist. What piqued your interest in baseball and this iconic double play trio in the history of Chicago baseball?
Well, I'm a Cubs fan since I was 10 years old, way back into the early days of Ernie Banks and Billy Williams.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Evansville, Indiana, and Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay, all right.
I listened to WGN every afternoon. I could get on my dad's car radio in Madison and follow the Cubs from an early time. Never realizing I would never see them win anything until my old age.
You and me both, yeah, yeah, yeah. But Jack Brickhouse,
that's what got me interested in the Cubs' history, and in fact, when I discovered that they were actually the powerhouse back in the early days, but there's not much written about it, so that's what got me interested in doing my own research.
Cubs' loyalty is probably greater than any other Major League Baseball team, and I'll say putting the Cubs on Superstation WGN back in the 70s was one of those things that made it happen. But in your research, you discovered it happened much earlier than that.
Exactly. The baseball was had been around for a long time, since just after the Civil War, but it had never really taken off in a mass spectator way until this period, when suddenly 30,000, 40,000 people would show up for an afternoon day game at the old West Side Grounds, which is where they played before Wrigley was built.
Now,
the rivalry between Chicago and the New York Giants was unlike anything anybody had ever seen before. It was two powerhouse cities with two powerhouse baseball teams battling out every year.
And no love lost between those cities at that time. Baseball wasn't, at that time, the friendliest of sports. You know, the turn of the century brought some of those big changes to baseball to make it a little bit more accessible to families and so forth. I mean, it was pretty nasty.
It was a thugs game, to put it mildly.
Yeah.
The 1890s, and it was losing fans, and that's when a guy named Ben Johnson saw an opportunity, and he was running the Western League, a minor league at the time. He renamed it the American League. He set up his headquarters in Chicago. Charlie Comiskey, one of his buddies who ran the St. Paul Apostles minor league team, moved down to the south side of Chicago and renamed his team the White Sox. And suddenly it started outdrawing the Chicago National League team, which wasn't called the Cubs then, it was called the Colts. And so the National League had to respond in some way, or they were going to go out of business. And that's when they adopted the Ben Johnson's approach of what they called clean baseball, something that was more family-friendly. A lot less cutthroat competition, a lot less vulgarity on the field, and a lot more pure competition.
You're talking about...
So suddenly both teams just took off, and they both won their pennants in 1906 and for the first Crosstown World Series. And the Chicago Tribune ran an editorial headline, Baseball Insanity.
Yeah.
The entire city had gone absolutely crazy over baseball.
I bet. I bet. You were talking about the being known as the Colts. They were first the White Stockings, the Colts, the Orphans. But they became the Cubs not because the team named that them the Cubs. It was the press. It was the Chicago Tribune, really, that kind of nicknamed them, right?
Actually, it was the Daily News.
Okay.
Was the first team to call them the Cubs, and the only team at the time. After one of their sports writers saw a lot of young faces on the team when spring training, called them the Cubbies. But they were the only paper at first, because every paper essentially came up with their own nickname for a team. The Tribune kept using the term Colts. Another paper called them the Giant Killers. But it was when Frank Chance took over as manager in 1906, he let it be known that he liked the term Cubs. And the team started adopting a mascot, an actual live bear.
Wow. I did not know it was live even. Yeah. Well, tell us about these players. So, that you know, Tinker, Evers, and Chance. You talked about Frank Chance. Let's, you know, they all came from different backgrounds, too. But tell us a little bit about each of these guys.
Yeah, that's what it was interesting to me, because each grew up in 1880s and 1890s, a time when America was changing. And they each came from very different regions of the country. Johnny Evers grew up in Troy, New York. It was a big industrial city at the time on the Hudson River and Erie Canal, in an Irish-American family. Joe Tinker grew up in Kansas City, which was one of the early places where the City Beautiful movement took hold, and they hired an architect to design a whole system of parks and boulevards that kids could play in. Wasn't something that people thought about before that
yeah.
Kids needed a place to play. And then Frank Chance, who was the player-manager, grew up in Fresno, California. Each of his parents had come across the country on the Oregon Trail as pioneers when they were children. So there was a very different kind of culture that had emerged out there. And so they each kind of took up baseball for different reasons, different local family reasons, and then all came together in Chicago in about 1903, when Chicago was going through this, you know, this incredible transformation. It had doubled in population in 10 years, from 1 million to 2 million. A lot of immigrants from Europe, but also from the rural areas of the country. After the Depression of 1893, people started flocking into Chicago. And baseball became kind of the rallying point, the unifier, for all those different types of people from different backgrounds.
It was some comfort food. It was something to look forward to. It was something to bring people together at that time.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah.
you mentioned the 1906, you know, the Cubs and the White Sox, which, you know, was, you know, legendary. I'd love to see that happen again. But Tinkers to Evers to Chance. Talk about, you know, what they were known for and what does that mean, and the poem that was written, and really, again, I think from reading from your book, I discovered for the first time, this wasn't written by someone in Chicago. It was written by someone outside of Chicago that was kind of a dig at the Giants, wasn't it?
F.P. Adams was his name. He was a columnist, a humor columnist in New York.
Yeah.
And he wrote this poem literally on the fly one day when his column came up short, 8 lines. So he filled it with these 8 lines. These are the saddest of possible words, Tinker to Evers to Chance. And just as a joke, but it kind of caught on. It's in the early 20th century version of viral social media. Other newspapers started doing the same thing, doing their variations on it, and he would reprint their versions in his column. And it became kind of a summer sensation in 1910. This was the last year of the great dynasty
mm-hmm.
of the Cubs. They won the pennant in 1910. But he was from Chicago. F.P. Adams was from Chicago. The Cubs were his favorite team. And so he wrote the poem as a kind of gentle poke in the side of his New York Giants cohorts.
And you talked about, again, the White Sox won the 1906, of course, World Series. The 1907, 1908 is where the Cubs came into play. I got to remind people, too, this, again, this didn't happen at Wrigley. It was you said West Side Grounds, right?
West Side Grounds is the name of the ballpark, and it's where the University of Illinois Medical Center is today.
Gotcha. Okay.
Taylor and Polk.
Okay.
It wasn't that big of a park. The Cubs first started playing there, it's held about 10,000, 15,000. They expanded it to because they were, like I said, they were getting 30,000 people out there for some of their games.
That's amazing.
They expanded it a little bit, but it was still an old wooden ballpark. They played there until, the Federal League was formed in 1914. It didn't last very long, but that's when Wrigley Field was built for the Chicago Whales.
Right.
And then the owner of the Whales, when the Federal League folded, bought the Cubs and moved them into Wrigley. And they've been playing there ever since.
Now, the West Side Grounds, did that park stay up for a while after that? Were other people playing at that ballpark?
No, I don't think it did. It pretty much went out of use after World War I. I don't know the history of it from that point on, but... you know, that whole area was the Cook County Hospital, University of Illinois.
Sure.
And started building up in a very different way.
Now, 1907, 90, 1908, Cubs are just hot. You're right, the rivalry between New York and Chicago had never been greater. Baseball in Chicago was alive and well. But after that, gradually, as you know, the destiny dissolved and dissolved pretty quickly.
Well, so these three guys, it's interesting. They played so well as a unit, but they didn't necessarily get along with each other. In fact, Johnny Evers and Joe Tinker hated each other.
Wow.
And had a longstanding feud that they refused to talk to each other, even on the field. And then Frank Chance, who had some issues from constantly getting beaned. He's this tough Western pioneer type who just would never back down, even from a speeding bullet of a baseball. And he got sick in 1912 and had to leave the team for a while and have an operation. And the owner put Johnny Evers in charge of the team while he was away, and that was the last thing Joe Tinker wanted, to work for Johnny Evers. And so he asked for a trade. And then Chance came back but ran afoul of his owner and literally fired him on the spot. So the team just kind of fell apart at that point, and Johnny Evers went off to Boston, where he won a World Series with the Boston Braves. Chance went back out to California, had a brief stint as a manager of the early Yankees, but they never had the success other than Evers with the Braves. Joe Tinker went to the Chicago Whales. He was one of the first people to jump ship and join the new Federal League. They had an amazing run. 10 years they played together.
Yeah,
1903 to 1912.
And
almost unheard of.
We'd be remiss if we didn't mention, Frank Seeley, who he was the Cubs leader. He was kind of the manager of the Cubs, who really put the team together. He was kind of the Theo Epstein of the time, wasn't he?
Yeah, he even came from Boston.
Yeah, look at that.
Frank Seeley was the manager of the Boston Bean Eaters. And won five pennants in the 1890s, and the Chicago brought him to come in and rebuild the team, and he was there from 1902 until 1905, and literally is the one who put Joe Tinker at shortstop, Johnny Evers at second, and Frank Chance, who was a catcher at the time, put him at first base, really started the team started climbing. The only problem is Seeley was a very sick man. He had turned out tuberculosis, and had to leave the team in 1905 to move out to Colorado, where the air was supposed to be better for his lungs. And so he never got to enjoy the winning years. He ended up he died in 1909 of tuberculosis.
Amazing.
In Colorado.
Well, I'll tell you
he was finally elected into the Hall of Fame in 1999.
Is that how long it took? Wow. Wow, look at that. Well, I'll tell you, I love this book. And, it's holding tight to an important era in Cubs history, but not only Cubs history, but baseball history. Tinkers to Evers to Chance, the Chicago Cubs and the Dawn of Modern America is the book. David Rapp is the author. Pick up a copy. You'll really enjoy it. Are you going to make it to a game sometime this summer, David?
I'm going to be back up there, in June, the Printers Row Literary Fest.
Oh, nice.
I think Pittsburgh is in town that week, so yeah, I'll be definitely coming up.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to tell you are. Have you seen the new Wrigley and what they've done to the park and everything inside yet?
I haven't seen the inside. I was up there a couple weeks ago and saw what was going on outside. It looks spectacular.
It's amazing. Really amazing. It's amazing. Enjoy yourself, David, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right. We'll be right back.